Chapter 6, Money Matters, page 97, activity 3. Listening for pros and cons. Step 1.
Good afternoon. This is Radio KIZZ, your Total Talk radio station. I'm Michelle Barney, financial reporter for Radio KIZ, and I'll be your host for today's program, The World Bank Under Fire. I'm sure you're all aware that most of the world's population lives in developing and semi-industrialized countries. These countries don't have enough money to invest in schools, utilities, factories, and highways. One way these countries can get money is by borrowing money from an organization called the World Bank. In theory, this money should be helping the world's poor. Since the establishment of the World Bank in 1944, most people have assumed that these loans could only do good things for a country. But it turns out that money isn't everything. For example, many people question the value of a dam built with World Bank money in Ethiopia. That dam was built to provide electricity, but it destroyed the homes and lives of more people than it served with electric power. That dam also destroyed forests and endangered animals and plants. The critics of the World Bank say that this kind of help to developing countries is wasteful, destructive, and unfair. They wonder who is profiting from projects such as this one, the people or large international corporations. Today, we have a spokesperson here with us from the World Bank, Mr. George Cruz. Mr. Cruz has been with the bank for 10 years and is part of a team that has been examining the effectiveness of World Bank projects. This World Bank team of insiders is coming to the same conclusions as many critics of the World Bank. They have concluded that many of the projects in the past have been economic failures and serious threats to both the environment and human rights. Mr. Cruz.
Well, Ms. Barney, I am very happy to be here today to clarify some things about the World Bank. While much of what you say is true, I think we need to talk about the successes of the World Bank as well as the failures. We also need to talk about the positive changes the World Bank has made in its policies and goals for the 21st century. But to begin, I'd like to give a brief overview of the World Bank and how it works.
Of course. I think that would be very helpful for our listeners.
Now, what we call the World Bank is actually an umbrella term, a general term, for five separate organizations with five slightly different purposes. But the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development is generally what most people think of as the World Bank. In order to borrow money from this branch of the World Bank, a country must be a member. Of course, the money is supposed to be paid back with interest, as with any bank loan.
Yes, I guess that's true, but many countries are never able to pay back the loans.
Yes, that has been a serious problem, but we do have a program to restructure the loans, which will alleviate that problem.
Yes. Restructuring or reorganizing how the debts are paid back may help a little, but unless they are forgiven completely so that nothing has to be paid back, there are still very serious problems. Isn't it true that in some cases, developing countries have been forced to cut spending on health, education, transportation, and welfare programs in order to reduce their huge debts to the World Bank? I've read that in some countries, the debt to the World Bank is so great that it's now the largest item in the government budgets. Furthermore, these countries have been forced to sell industries and land to foreign corporations in order to pay off debts to the World Bank.
Wait, one thing at a time. First, you're right that developing countries owe a lot of money to the World Bank. However, as of this year, 22 nations have had at least two-thirds of their debts forgiven. They don't have to make any more payments. And don't forget, there is a danger that if a debt is forgiven completely, that it will ruin that nation's credit rating, because everyone will think that country just doesn't know how to manage money and pay its bills. So we have to be concerned about this, too.
I see.
And I hope everyone understands the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development tries to loan money to member countries for projects that will aid economic development. In theory, this is good. But up to now, the bank could only loan money to buy imported goods. And to make sure that this rule was followed, the bank paid the sellers directly.
Well, this rule is good for the countries and companies that want to sell goods to developing countries. But wouldn't this discourage local production of goods? In the long term, wouldn't this rule do more harm than good to the developing country's economy?
Possibly. That's one of the things we're looking at very seriously. But there are other advantages to getting a loan from this branch of the World Bank. The International Bank for Reconstruction and Development provides technical assistance along with loans. And this is a major part of our new vision for the 21st century. For example, Cameroon submitted a proposal for a new irrigation system along the Logone River. They hoped that with this new irrigation system, the cash income of the region would be 5 times greater than before. But the bank did not approve the project right away, because we know that technological advances can sometimes cause environmental problems. Before approving the proposal, the bank asked environmental consultants to study the project. The consultants found that the new irrigation system would result in a serious health problem because of snails that live in the area. These snails carry a tropical disease called bilharzia.
Excuse me, was that bilharzia with an H?
Yes, bilharzia. Bilharzia. Anyway, the new irrigation system might have spread the snails and the disease they carried to a larger area. So the bank paid for studies of the river system. Scientists and engineers together determined that if the irrigation system were used only when the snails were not breeding, then the disease would not spread. So the bank was able to solve the problem.
Yes, I understand what you mean. But wasn't there a problem getting local residents to use the system appropriately? I believe I read that some people were never convinced that the snail disease had really been taken care of, so they would not use the irrigation system at all. And another group of people never believed there was a problem in the first place, so they would not stop using the irrigation system when the snails were breeding.
Yes, that's true. The International Bank for Reconstruction and Development is beginning to see that understanding local needs and culture may be more important than anything else in the success of a project. Well, let me continue. The second organization under the World Bank umbrella is the International Development Association, or IDA. The IDA has approximately 160 members and makes loans that are interest-free. This means that the borrowers do not have to pay any interest, and they only pay back the loan amount, or principal. This, of course, is good, because it allows even the poorest countries to begin projects immediately. On the other hand, because little or no interest is paid, the IDA is very dependent upon contributions from member nations to support various projects. The IDA uses the member dues, the yearly membership fees, plus other contributions from member nations to fund loans to needy countries.
So this is how member nations can dictate what governmental policies must be in place before loans will be given, right?
Yes, exactly. The member nations, since they are contributing the money, often wish to have a say in how their money will be handled in a particular country. Some countries may be uncomfortable with the more powerful nations exerting this kind of control over their government policies. However, our major goal for the 21st century is to help people to help themselves, not only by providing money, but also by sharing knowledge and forming partnerships. So, let's move on to the third organization in the World Bank Group, the International Finance Corporation, or IFC. The IFC is different from the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development and the IDA, because the IFC can invest in private business and industry, while the other two organizations can only invest in government projects. This is good for the country because the government does not have to guarantee the loan, and it encourages the growth of private business and industry. However, the IFC is not protected if the business fails. Also, the IFC has no control over how a company spends its money. Some people argue that the loan is more effective if people in the region spend the money in ways they think are best, without the IFC telling them what to do. They think the people outside the region do not have a thorough understanding of complex cultural and economic regional issues.
Absolutely, but is that ever really possible? I thought that the member nations get voting rights based on the amount of money they contribute to the bank. Doesn't that mean that the wealthier nations have the most influence on which projects will be financed?
Ideally, of course, the loans are made to countries on the basis of economic need alone. Robert McNamara, who was Secretary of Defense when John F. Kennedy was President of the United States, was President of the World Bank for a time. He hoped that the World Bank would be a model of international cooperation, free from political self-interests. He hoped for a world in which the superpowers would join together to provide financial support for developing nations, instead of arguing among themselves. But we all know that it is difficult to separate economic goals from political interests in today's world.
I couldn't agree more with McNamara's vision. But whether the World Bank can really make this dream a reality is a big question. Well, our time is up, and that brings us to the end of this week's program. Our guest today was George Cruz, and the topic was The World Bank Under Fire. Thank you for being with us today, Mr. Cruz.
My pleasure.
This is Michelle Barney, your host for World Business Topics. Please join us next week, same time, same station, KIZZ, your Total Talk Radio.
Page 97, Activity 3, Listening for Pros and Cons, Step 2.
Good afternoon. This is Radio KIZZ, your Total Talk Radio station. I'm Michelle Barney, financial reporter for Radio KIZ, and I'll be your host for today's program, The World Bank Under Fire. I'm sure you're all aware that most of the world's population lives in developing and semi-industrialized countries. These countries don't have enough money to invest in schools, utilities, factories, and highways. One way these countries can get money is by borrowing money from an organization called the World Bank. In theory, this money should be helping the world's poor. Since the establishment of the World Bank in 1944, most people have assumed that these loans could only do good things for a country. But it turns out that money isn't everything. For example, many people question the value of a dam built with World Bank money in Ethiopia. That dam was built to provide electricity, but it destroyed the homes and lives of more people than it served with electric power. That dam also destroyed forests and endangered animals and plants. The critics of the World Bank say that this kind of help to developing countries is wasteful, destructive, and unfair. They wonder who is profiting from projects such as this one, the people or large international corporations. Today, we have a spokesperson here with us from the World Bank, Mr. George Cruz. Mr. Cruz has been with the bank for 10 years and is part of a team that has been examining the effectiveness of World Bank projects. This World Bank team of insiders is coming to the same conclusions as many critics of the World Bank. They have concluded that many of the projects in the past have been economic failures and serious threats to both the environment and human rights. Mr. Cruz.
Well, Ms. Barney, I am very happy to be here today to clarify some things about the World Bank. While much of what you say is true, I think we need to talk about the successes of the World Bank as well as the failures. We also need to talk about the positive changes the World Bank has made in its policies and goals for the 21st century. But to begin, I'd like to give a brief overview of the World Bank and how it works.
Of course. I think that would be very helpful for our listeners.
Now, what we call the World Bank is actually an umbrella term, a general term, for five separate organizations with five slightly different purposes. But the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development is generally what most people think of as the World Bank. In order to borrow money from this branch of the World Bank, a country must be a member. Of course, the money is supposed to be paid back with interest, as with any bank loan.
Yes, I guess that's true, but many countries are never able to pay back the loans.
Yes, that has been a serious problem, but we do have a program to restructure the loans, which will alleviate that problem.
Yes, restructuring or reorganizing how the debts are paid back may help a little, but unless they are forgiven completely so that nothing has to be paid back, there are still very serious problems. Isn't it true that in some cases, developing countries have been forced to cut spending on health, education, transportation, and welfare programs in order to reduce their huge debts to the World Bank? I've read that in some countries, the debt to the World Bank is so great that it's now the largest item in the government budgets. Furthermore, these countries have been forced to sell industries and land to foreign corporations in order to pay off debts to the World Bank.
Wait, one thing at a time. First, you're right that developing countries owe a lot of money to the World Bank. However, as of this year, 22 nations have had at least two-thirds of their debts forgiven. They don't have to make any more payments. And don't forget, there is a danger that if a debt is forgiven completely, that it will ruin that nation's credit rating, because everyone will think that country just doesn't know how to manage money and pay its bills. So we have to be concerned about this, too.
I see.
And I hope everyone understands the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development tries to loan money to member countries for projects that will aid economic development. In theory, this is good. But up to now, the bank could only loan money to buy imported goods. And to make sure that this rule was followed, the bank paid the sellers directly.
Well, this rule is good for the countries and companies that want to sell goods to developing countries. But wouldn't this discourage local production of goods? In the long term, wouldn't this rule do more harm than good to the developing country's economy?
Possibly. That's one of the things we're looking at very seriously. But there are other advantages to getting a loan from this branch of the World Bank. The International Bank for Reconstruction and Development provides technical assistance along with loans. And this is a major part of our new vision for the 21st century. For example, Cameroon submitted a proposal for a new irrigation system along the Logone River. They hoped that with this new irrigation system, the cash income of the region would be 5 times greater than before. But the bank did not approve the project right away, because we know that technological advances can sometimes cause environmental problems. Before approving the proposal, the bank asked environmental consultants to study the project. The consultants found that the new irrigation system would result in a serious health problem because of snails that live in the area. These snails carry a tropical disease called bilharzia.
Excuse me, was that bilharzia with an H?
Yes, bilharzia. Bilharzia. Anyway, the new irrigation system might have spread the snails and the disease they carried to a larger area. So the bank paid for studies of the river system. Scientists and engineers together determined that if the irrigation system were used only when the snails were not breeding, then the disease would not spread. So the bank was able to solve the problem.
Yes, I understand what you mean. But wasn't there a problem getting local residents to use the system appropriately? I believe I read that some people were never convinced that the snail disease had really been taken care of, so they would not use the irrigation system at all. And another group of people never believed there was a problem in the first place, so they would not stop using the irrigation system when the snails were breeding.
Yes, that's true. The International Bank for Reconstruction and Development is beginning to see that understanding local needs and culture may be more important than anything else in the success of a project.
Page 97, Activity 3. Listening for pros and cons. Step 3.
Well, let me continue. The second organization under the World Bank umbrella is the International Development Association, or IDA. The IDA has approximately 160 members and makes loans that are interest-free. This means that the borrowers do not have to pay any interest, and they only pay back the loan amount or principal. This, of course, is good because it allows even the poorest countries to begin projects immediately. On the other hand, because little or no interest is paid, the IDA is very dependent upon contributions from member nations to support various projects. The IDA uses the member dues, the yearly membership fees, plus other contributions from member nations to fund loans to needy countries.
So this is how member nations can dictate what governmental policies must be in place before loans will be given, right?
Yes, exactly. The member nations, since they are contributing the money, often wish to have a say in how their money will be handled in a particular country. Some countries may be uncomfortable with the more powerful nations exerting this kind of control over their government policies. However, our major goal for the 21st century is to help people to help themselves, not only by providing money, but also by sharing knowledge and forming partnerships.
Page 97, Activity 3. Listening for pros and cons. Step 4.
So, let's move on to the third organization in the World Bank Group, the International Finance Corporation, or IFC. The IFC is different from the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development and the IDA, because the IFC can invest in private business and industry, while the other two organizations can only invest in government projects. This is good for the country because the government does not have to guarantee the loan, and it encourages the growth of private business and industry. However, the IFC is not protected if the business fails. Also, the IFC has no control over how a company spends its money. Some people argue that the loan is more effective if people in the region spend the money in ways they think are best, without the IFC telling them what to do. They think the people outside the region do not have a thorough understanding of complex cultural and economic regional issues.
Absolutely, but is that ever really possible? I thought that the member nations get voting rights based on the amount of money they contribute to the bank. Doesn't that mean that the wealthier nations have the most influence on which projects will be financed?
Ideally, of course, the loans are made to countries on the basis of economic need alone. Robert McNamara, who was Secretary of Defense when John F. Kennedy was President of the United States, was President of the World Bank for a time. He hoped that the World Bank would be a model of international cooperation, free from political self-interests. He hoped for a world in which the superpowers would join together to provide financial support for developing nations, instead of arguing among themselves. But we all know that it is difficult to separate economic goals from political interests in today's world.
I couldn't agree more with McNamara's vision. But whether the World Bank can really make this dream a reality is a big question. Well, our time is up, and that brings us to the end of this week's program. Our guest today was George Cruz, and the topic was The World Bank Under Fire. Thank you for being with us today, Mr. Cruz.
My pleasure.
This is Michelle Barney, your host for World Business Topics. Please join us next week, same time, same station, KIZZ, your Total Talk Radio.